Let's say you don't get out much to see live music. Maybe you don't want to stay out late because you value sleep, or maybe you've got kids, or maybe you feel awkward at a show and you don't know what to do with your hands. Well, never fear, because today on the show, we take you to a show. So bring your ID and get ready to rage, because we're going to check out Murphy's Kids. What's going on? I'm Blaine Lay, and you're listening to Two People. It's a podcast about Richmond. This is part two of our episode featuring longtime Richmond punk ska band Murphy's Kids. Last time on the show, I sat down with their frontman, John Charlotte. In that episode, we hear John's story. And today, we hear that story come to life on stage in front of an audience. Before we dive in, I should mention that there is some adult language in this episode, just in case you're listening with kids. Okay, so Murphy's Kids started with two dudes, two best friends, really. John Charlotte and Reed Attaway. They are the, like, white-hot, molten core burning at the center of the band. John, he's the frontman, and Reed plays rhythm guitar. They've been best friends for a long time. When they were in middle school, they were both acting a fool in class. Here's Reed.
And I don't remember exactly how it went down, but I remember some tomfoolery between me and John and a couple of other buddies of mine from elementary school.
So, long story short, John got in trouble with a teacher. She wanted to know who else was involved, but he didn't rat Reed out. And from there, it was on.
We were like super homies from then on, pretty much.
They got to be buddies, they started a band, and, you know, they spent a ton of time together. Practice, just hanging out. They even lived together for a little while. They were basically inseparable.
Because John and I are like, we're common law married. We lived together for like 8 years or something like that.
If you had a common law marriage and gay marriage in Virginia between the years of 2008 and 2012, Reed and I would technically be married. Nice. You know, we just like lived together and were together a lot.
And at the time, we really would have benefited from the favorable tax position that you're in when you're married. Seriously, every cent counts.
You get a sense of the nature of their friendship there, right? Like, that's the thing that fuels the band. That's Murphy's Kids. They've been around for 18 years, and tonight we're going to their album release show for their record, Time Dilation. So they released this concept album, think Pink Floyd's The Wall, but it's ska punk music, and it's about the nature of time. I walk into the show. It's at the Broadberry, this cozy club on Broad Street in Richmond, and it's sort of a long, skinny room. It's dark. There's a bar on the left. John, the front man, is standing there by the merch table, just kind of hanging out and greeting friends as they walk in. And if you can believe it, not only does Reed play in Murphy's Kids, but he's also in one of the opening bands, Eastern Standard Time. So he gets off stage from that opening set with that opening band, and we step outside onto the patio, and I ask him about his approach.
Is there like a finiteness to your funk, or is it just like unending?
I dig deep every single chance I get. You know, I really want to work on putting out as much funk as I possibly can at all times.
So Reed had just got off stage, and he was about to go back on stage with Murphy's Kids. And I had to know how he's going to handle his onstage attire.
So on stage, just a moment ago, you were wearing like a coat and tie. Is there going to be like a costume change situation? Or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't wear the same thing for two sets in a row if I don't have to. Because when I get off stage, it's pretty much waterlogged. You know, it's very uncomfortable to start a set in a soggy pair of drawers.
Important advice, not just for music, but for life. Okay, so let me set this one up. It's about an hour before they hit the stage, and I want to ask them a few questions. And where's the best place to have that conversation? In the van, of course. So John, Reed, and I walk outside down the alley under the streetlights, and we hop in the band's big 15-passenger van. And I want to get a sense from Reed, the guitarist, of what it's like to play in a band with a frontman like John. And he tells me this story. So you know how legit guitar players have like those pedals to create effects? Well, John would get so focused on the audience that sometimes he just like stomp on Reed's pedals.
There was a really long time where he stepped all over my pedal board and would just wreck them, you know. So there's long periods of time where I just cannot play, and we get off stage and I'm like, what, dude, just look out for me. And he's like, I can't do that, man. I'm doing the show and I'm watching the crowd and I'm paying attention to that and I'm working that thing. But when we get on stage, John in particular is just completely off the leash. He is so singularly focused on the crowd and the show and doing the show and basically just exploding as a person in front of people, being just like a firework.
As Reed's talking, John is sitting there in the van, smiling and nodding in agreement, and he can explain his approach.
Like, I am the midget on the shoulders of the giant that is the Murphy's Kids rhythm section and overall band. And to some degree, I am the conduit through which the show flows into the crowd.
And this is a big night for Murphy's Kids. This is the release show for their new record. And I asked John what it means.
Tonight is like we're going to lay out a situation that's a first of its kind ska concept record that really just does not exist. There's a lot of feeling that, like, if we think it's good, which we do, we will enjoy playing it. And if we enjoy playing it, we hope that people will like it.
So there you have it. At this point, it's getting close to showtime. We walk back into the venue. John and Reed go get ready. The opener finishes up. And finally, Murphy's Kids hits the stage. But they don't open with that jolt of energy they're known for. It's actually the total opposite. The first couple songs they play really aren't fast at all. John, he's standing there sort of like a statue as he sings under this single spotlight. And I realize they're playing the new album from beginning to end. So 7 songs, all brand new, no banter at all between songs. The small crowd is gracious, and as they play, the energy starts to pick up a little bit. And at the end of that final song from the new album, John breaks in.
Thank you very much for keeping open hearts and open ears and open minds to this new music coming to you from Murphy's Kids. Just so thrilled that you guys will come in here. Hear these new jams, and we just put that whole record out. Now, let's get to the good stuff. What do you say?
He knows people didn't come to hear songs they've never heard.
Let's be honest. Nobody goes to see Steve Miller and is like, I hope he plays the new stuff. You know? Nobody does that.
And it's at this moment that things really get going.
Let's see. Brian, why don't you hit us with some kind of rock and roll riff? Something that makes it just makes people want to lose their fucking minds. Could you just give me something like that? That's pretty good.
When the drums hit and the band comes in, the crowd in front of the stage erupts. Bodies slamming into each other, a mix of elbows, smiles, and sweat. At this point, we're now off and running. Murphy's is bringing the energy and the groove they're known for. They play the hits. There's a lot of just singing and dancing. And a little later, out of nowhere, John asks someone for a watch.
Does anybody have a watch?
The dude's got a plan, and the timekeeper is crucial.
Right now, we're going to go at supersonic speeds because we're trying to pack a lot of value into the show. We're going to play 3 songs. Give us 5 minutes. That's right. 3 songs, 5 minutes. That's a 3-to-5 song to minute ratio. Are you ready, timekeeper? All right, ready? Reed, are you ready? Here we go. Start us off. That's right, we know that we can pass.
A moment later, again, he checks in with the timekeeper.
Let's see, how are you doing, timekeeper? We're good? Because
and sure enough, they get through three quick songs.
How we do, timekeeper? We made it! Nice! Oh, just under the wire, everyone. Three songs in 5 minutes. There you go. That's the kind of value in rock and roll Murphy's Kids provides right here at the Rock and Roll Show.
Woo! A few minutes later, John notices someone's beer sitting on stage. He stops mid-sentence and picks up the beer.
People know that this is where I'm stepping all over. It's, whose beer is this? Is this your beer? I need to drink some of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I just got married.
And in honor of his new wife, he takes a sip of the beer.
Whatever's on this, she now has. I'm just saying. That's on you.
And then uses his love as a segue into the next song.
Would that be suitable? A love song about love and loving each other and just touching each other and thinking about love. Kick that tune, Diesel Train!
It's just a lot of fun. The music is solid. John is there as the MC and the fearless leader. Everyone's having a great time as the night unfolds. And finally, the crescendo of the show. For an aging group of guys, it's the final push.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I said before, Murphy's Kids is getting older. We're getting older. We got saggy buttocks. You know, we got the old man balls. But we just need your help. We've got 3.5 minutes. 3.5 minutes to prove that we are not robots, that we are not animals, that we are human beings. And we were meant to be here and to be spending time together with one another and sweating on each other and pumping blood out of our hearts. Say it like you mean it.
Did you hear that? We are not robots. We are pumping blood out of our hearts. We are human beings. So in the middle of the final song, John steps off stage for a second and returns with this thing that looks like an industrial Nerf gun. John has a red metal box under his arm, and it's got a white PVC pipe coming out of it. And he walks to the edge of the stage, smiling as the band is playing behind him. And he's aiming the cannon at the audience. And blast, an explosion of confetti onto the crowd. So Murphy's Kids finishes up, the house music comes on, and they start breaking down their gear. And as they're packing up the van in the parking lot, John, he stops for a moment, almost like he forgot something, and he crams a wad of cash into his pocket and walks back into the venue. So I ask him about it.
Whenever we shoot off the confetti cannon, I see everybody who paid to get into the show say, "Oh man, that's great!" And then I also kind of like look at all the staff members, like the security or the bartenders or whoever, and they say, "Oh, this really is not my favorite thing." And then I see them cleaning up afterwards, which is a very sad thing. They're cleaning up our mess, like this huge mess, gigantic mess that we just made, and they are doing it as we're loading the stuff out. It's like, oh man, we just triumphed in this world of rock and roll.
So Murphy's Kids usually tries to tip them for their troubles.
So Murphy's Kids makes it a point to like go and like, and I don't want to like set a precedent here, but we do try to like tip the people who clean up the confetti, because it's not a glamorous world for those people.
But you're, to be clear, you're also not making any promises to future confetti cleaner uppers.
Correct.
So yeah, no promises made, but you know, they don't have to tip the people cleaning up the venue, but if they're able to, they do it. And I think it represents something about what John and the rest of Murphy's Kids stand for. I grab Reed after the show to check in.
How are you feeling?
I feel good. I feel great. I'm glad that we pulled it off. Like, we've never done anything like that where we play an album start to finish without John's usual banter and silliness. You know, we just did the record to start the set, and that was cool.
How's your body holding up, man?
Good, good. I feel much better than I anticipated feeling at the end of this.
John, he's feeling appreciative for what the night was.
The idea that people would continue to pay attention to what we're making now is humbling. It's humbling. We're just so grateful that people would come and check out the show.
So there we are. It's like 2:30 in the morning. The three of us are standing there in the alley behind the Broadberry under the streetlight. These guys aren't spring chickens anymore. And I wanted to know,
how is like a night like tonight different when you're 34 than when you're 24?
Reed goes first.
So we would not be here right now if we were when we were 24. We would be at probably at the time our drummer's house, all imbibing liquor and watching our buddies throw a frozen potato at each other's bellies to enjoy what the welts look like.
And then John goes, and he launches into a story about their post-show throwdowns and hijinks from a decade ago.
It was like we would throw frozen potatoes at each other and make people, you know, kind of like jump off of things that they're totally not qualified to jump off of at 3 o'clock in the morning, like try to get them from a balcony into a pool or something.
That is no longer the case.
We don't have that anymore. Now it's just like, maybe we'll all go to sheets, then we'll all go to bed.
At this point, it's getting late. I can tell Reed's getting a little antsy. And it's because he has to get up early the next day.
I'm going to go home and go to sleep because my infant son is going to wake me up about 7 tomorrow morning, probably, maybe earlier. 7 if I'm lucky.
From there, Reed throws the stuff in the van. I say goodbye to John and his wife, and everyone goes home in a responsible manner. You know, no potato welts or jumping off balconies. Just a sense of accomplishment and quiet gratitude. Since recording the show, you know, I've been doing some thinking. I had my first kid this year, and I catch myself worrying about the world that he's growing up in. You know, mass shootings, a person driving a truck into a crowd as an act of terror. There's just like a lot of bad things in the news, and it seems to be coming faster than ever. Things seem really fragile, and it can be easy to lose hope. There's a Murphy's Kids song that I stumbled across that I think speaks to that anxiety. It's an old song, but it's really fitting for this moment. And it's the best, like, short representation of Murphy's Kids that I can find. The song is called Stand for Tomorrow. The verse is fast, and it's filled with tension, heavy with, like, the weight of all the terrible news in the world. But the chorus says no to that. He's making a commitment. I will stand for tomorrow with the children today. I will create a better time and place. I will stand for tomorrow. And if I die today, I rejoice in your life in my place. It's not a bad commitment, especially if you have kids. But you've got to make a choice to make tomorrow better. In spite of everything we see in the world, we can choose to be hopeful. We can be participants in something new. We can choose to act in face of all that. Murphy's kids is getting older. Reed is married with a kid. John and his wife are expecting twins in the new year. And given all that's been going on in their lives, Murphy's kids just made the decision to hang it up. They will no longer be a band. In the end, Murphy's Kids is a group of friends that got together to create something. John and Reed, Alex, Nathan, Brian, Daniel, Steve, Reggie. They worked out chord progressions and endured long van rides. It wasn't always easy or glamorous. They didn't always know what the right path was, but they were on a journey together towards something greater. And here's the thing. Murphy's Kids is about the music, but it isn't really about the music. You know, I think all they really wanted to do is to make their little patch of the world just a little bit better. To get together with people they enjoy and create something that endures over time. They want to point to something greater than themselves, draw others in, and have a blast along the way. You know, you don't have to be a rock frontman to do that. You can do that as a teacher or a coach. You can do that in construction or law or public service. You can do that as a dad or a mom, a son or a daughter. You can do that doing whatever it is you do. There are a lot of people out there like John and the guys from Murphy's Kids that want to make their patch of the world a little better in their own way. And maybe you're one of those people. And that's what gives me hope.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. It is a distinct honor and privilege to be with every single one of you this evening. So I just want you to put your little paws together. Makes it look a little like this.
Murphy's Kids has a final slate of farewell shows before the band is no more. The final show is December 22nd at the Camel. You can check out their Facebook page for updates. Thanks for listening. And whatever you do, do it well.